New Year's has come and gone, and we're on the backside of another decade. It's 2020. And Christmas is now officially over according to the church calendar. Right here, right now, we're at the tipping point between the longing of Advent, the celebration of Christmas, and living life in the news of the Incarnation. It's Epiphany. And the excitement's not over. Things are just starting to get real. This time of year is often a time for reflection, to look back and to look forward. I've been reflecting on myself and on the state of our communities and the world. Like a lot of my deep thoughts, they come to me when I'm doing menial tasks, washing dishes, peeling potatoes, folding laundry, and even boxing up the Christmas decorations. We usually take down our Christmas decorations around the first of the year, but we leave our nativity scenes up well into Epiphany, but not this year. My husband and I are leaving town for a vacation in a couple days, so we've already undecked the halls of our home. This past weekend, as I was carefully putting away each of my 5 nativity scenes, I'm kind of a nativity scene freak, I began thinking about the manger scene. I was in my living room, swooping in, gathering up figurines like a cleanup crew, drying them in and boxing them up. I always put the wise men off in the distance and creep them ever closer, closer, closer to the manger so they get there right when Epiphany arrives. All of these nativity scenes depicting the scene are serene, and some might even call sweet, with what seems like smiles on the faces of the figurines. They gave me a sense of peace when I looked at their faces, and I found myself smiling back at them. It seems like a straightforward and simple scene with all the characters present. Mary, check. Joseph, check. Baby Jesus, check. Shepherds, check. Sheep, check. Miscellaneous animals, check. Angel, check. And finally, the Magi and their gifts, check. As I wrapped each figurine up in white tissue paper, I began to think about the fragile nature of each character in the story and the whole scene itself, and how this scene is rarely, if ever, depicted as anything other than joyful and peaceful, simple and serene. And then it hit me. Where is the smell of the manure of the animals? Where is the fear and the isolation that Joseph and Mary must have experienced in the moments of not knowing what comes next? Where are the cries of the vulnerable newborn baby Jesus? Where is the wonder in the faces of the Magi as they became transformed in the meeting of this child? Wonder so great it caused them to heed the holy warning that came to them in a dream. Where is the worry and the sense of urgency Joseph must have worn on his face when he realized that harm could come to their newborn son? So I began to wonder what happened to the part of the story that's dangerous, life-changing, and orbit-shifting. Because as we see in the gospel text before us today, this news of the birth of Jesus holds both the glory and the danger, the joy and the fear. This stark contrast is the reality that comes with the Incarnation. Friends in Christ, as you can see, there is nothing safe, neat, or tidy about the manger scene. Jesus' birth as king is a proclamation of God's justice for all people, especially for the poor and the outcast. This is the reordering of the social structures envisioned by the prophet Isaiah, a restoration, one that was brought forth most unexpectedly in the birth of a fragile newborn child. Can you feel the danger now? Can you feel the danger in the gospel story before us today? If we're to have 2020 vision, meaning clear vision in the year 2020, how might we hold these seemingly contrasting yet coexisting realities together? The joy and the glory of the birth of Christ, the hope it brings to the oppressed, and the threat it presented to Herod and the social structures of the day. Do we believe that these realities and this tension hold true today? And how does that shape how we live in the world as Christians? How can we hold these realities together, firmly and yet gently? How do we live not in spite of what seems like a contrast, but because of it, knowing it, believing it, and living from it and in it each and every day? Can you feel the danger now? Can you feel the danger in the present moment, in this place and time, and in our story? I can. Last week, I spent time with a clergy colleague sharing our thoughts with one another about the text before us today. We talked about the words from this gospel text that grab us and cling to us. For me, it's these words: by another road. By another road. We shared with one another what we hear in this phrase and the invitation it might present for us and the people we serve amongst. I imagine it to mean an invitation for living the gospel more innovatively and with more risk-taking, and with respect to my call as a deacon to invite, encourage, and equip others in this same bold and courageous work. We also talked about how going home by another road was an act of civil disobedience by the Magi. It disrupted the structures that oppress, and it presents us today with an invitation to do the same, despite the challenges and despite the threats. This means bringing light to dark places, questioning the status quo, standing up for those who have no voice. It might even mean giving away our power and authority to those who have little to no power and authority, so that they may speak for themselves while we stand in solidarity. This, my friends, is good news for the poor and the disenfranchised. It may also seem like bad news for some of us, because it feels risky and uncertain. What does it mean for us that this startling revelation about the reign of God and the kingship of Jesus came first to the lowly, to outsiders, to Gentiles, and was delivered in a swaddled tiny bundle pressed up to his mother's breast? Jesus himself, not who the people were looking for at all. He wasn't born to the right people or in the right place. My colleague and I, we wondered together what all of this might mean for the kind of leaders we seek, develop, and follow in our congregations, in this diocese, perhaps even in a new bishop, and for leaders in this community and beyond. I left our time together challenged and charged with looking for unexpected leaders in unexpected places, and to trust that God is with us and that this is part of living the gospel dangerously and most certainly faithfully. Our gathering here tonight is to remember the ancient story of Epiphany, to reacquaint ourselves with it, and to reconnect with it as our own story, to once again take up God's passion for justice as our own, and to embody this as we go forth from this place in 2020. Despite the danger we bring to our door or to anywhere we find ourselves, I invite you during this season of Epiphany to join me in imagining what living in the news of the Incarnation holds for our life together in this community, embracing the tension and the uncertainty that comes with it, the fear and the risk, and hold it. with all the imagination, possibility, and hope that comes with it. Amen.